So the high chesed, that's lovely seeing you. Thanks very much for your help. Now, so we're looking at the beginning of the second sedra. Let me just see if I can find it. Here we are. Right. So there are two sedra, and the second one begins. Eile maaseh v'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys. It calls it marches here, but the literal meaning of masa usually is a journey. Asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that they went out of Egypt, litzivotam, by their host. B'yad Moshe v'Aaron, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. V'yichtov Moshe. Oops. Are you able to see it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Vayichtov Moshe, and Moshe wrote. Now, Motza Ehem translates it as starting points. The Motza means the source of something. The source, or the, if we take it just at this simple level, the starting point of their journey, of each journey, each section of the journey, Al Pi Hashem, by the hand of God. The Elem Masehem, and these are their journeys, Lemotzaehem, according to their starting points. We'll use this word for the moment. And it gives a whole list of 42 different places. And the list goes on how they set out from here and they came to there, and then they went from there and they camped there, and it goes on. 42 stages of this journey, which are all called the journeys with which they left Egypt. So it is on that note that the discourse begins. So we'll have the Maimer Nigun as a sung melody because it's the 3 weeks, so we won't have the piano version. Hi, Nicole, that's nice seeing you. Oh, yo, yo, ya, 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 yo, ya, yo. Oh, ya, 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 yo, ya, yo. Ah, ya, ya, ah, ya, ya, yo, ya, yo. Ah, ya, ya, yo, ya, yo. Oh, Right, so here we have this discourse. It was said in 1965. And it was on Shabbat, which was the double sedra, like it is this Shabbat. And like this Shabbat, it will be the second of Menachem Av. So let's see what we can make it a bit bigger. Right. Eile maaseh b'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, they went out of Egypt. Now we're focusing on something. The Rebbe always, as it were, looks first at one of the earlier discourses of his predecessors, the six earlier generations of the Chabad teachers, masters. And so he comments on what Rabbi Shneur Zalman, Rabbeinu HaZaken, the first Chabad Rebbe, says in the Likutei Torah, a collection of his discourses, Lahavin l'shon ele mas'ei, to understand this expression, these are the journeys. Shehu l'shon rabim, it's in the plural, several journeys. Uchtiv asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, and it says these are the journeys by which they left the land of Egypt. Now Rabbi Shneur Zalman asks the following point. Bahari me'eretz Mitzrayim, now going out of the land of Egypt, that is just the first journey. Shenasu Miramses leSukkot. That was the first journey. We didn't read it in the text, but they went from Ramses, which is part of Egypt, and they went to Sukkot, from Ramses to Sukkot, which is outside the biblical Egypt. Umavai Bazan, he explains. Shekol, yeah. Zippori, you wanted to ask something? Say something?
No, no. Husband just came home, sorry.
Right. Umavai Bazan, Ramesh. And then you've got all the other 40 something journeys. After, so why are they all called the journeys by which they left the land of Egypt? Surely they left the land of Egypt at the beginning, and then they're traveling in the desert. They're completely far away from the Egyptian border. And yet it's all called going out of Egypt. So we get some interesting explanations on this. On the vibe is there, and it explains in this, Shekol arba'im u'shnayim ha-masa'ot. All of these 42 journeys, nikra hakol, it's all called asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that they went out of the land of Egypt. V'haynu ad chaniyatam, until they camped b'yaden Yerecho, at the Jordan near Jericho, and that is the final journey. That's the final point in the list. So so they all are included in this concept of leaving Egypt, and you haven't really left Egypt until you get to the River Jordan and Yerecho and Jericho, which is there at the River Jordan. They approach the Jordan from the eastern side. So they went through the desert, and then they came from east to west. They came to the Jordan and Jericho, and then they crossed the Jordan and made their way into the land of Israel. That's later on. The Yesh lo hosif, and one can add, Sheyesh no gam adiyuk ba-pasuk, you can make a similar comment about a verse, Ki meit seitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, that the time of Mashiach will be like the days of your going out of Egypt. Now that's kimei l'shon rabim. This, it's in the plural, the days in the plural that you went out of Egypt. Kedita b'zohar, as it comments in the Zohar, bayom, kayom mibayle. One would expect it to say like the day in the singular that you went out of Egypt. Because, says the Zohar, they went out of Egypt at one time. There was the Egyptian border, they crossed it, they're outside Egypt. But the subject is as follows. That from the time of going out of Egypt, ad ge'ulah ha'atida, until the time of the future redemption, atida lavod, the redemption which will come soon, Bimheira v'yameinu amen, may it come quickly in our days. Heim yemeit seitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. The entire length of our exile is considered going out of Egypt. They are all the days of your going out of Egypt. V'lechein amar ki mei, and that's why it said the days, the redemption will be like the days of going out of Egypt, in the plural. V'yesh lomar, and one can add, says the Rebbe, she'inyan zen yimaz gam, this is also hinted at, v'ma she'katub b'likutei Torah, with what it says in Likutei Torah, these discourses by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, she'kol arba'im u'shnayim ha'masa'ot, that all these 42 journeys, nikra ha'kol, they're all called asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that we, or they, the Israelites, went out of the land of Egypt. Umosif, and he adds, Vahainu, that means, Ad chaniyatam b'yaden Yerecho, till they camp at the Yarden, at the Jordan, by Jericho. Ki b'likutei Torah sham, because, so now we've got two concepts. We've got one concept about going out of Egypt in the time of the Israelites, the time of Moses, 3,000 and something years ago. And then we've got another, so that's one verse, if you like, or series of verses, which is in our Sedra of the Week. And then we have another concept from the book of Micha, I think it is. He made Seidcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days of your going out of Egypt, will be the future redemption. And so now, both of these, there's like a plurality. There's many days with which, many journeys with which we went out of Egypt 3,300 years ago. And there are many days which are the days of going out of Egypt in the prophecy about the future. So now it's going to put these two together. Kibelikot, that's line 19. Kibelikotei Torah Sham, because in this book of discourses by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, he explains, Mevoel explains the inyan bechinat yaden yerecho. Now the Jordan, you see, I think we've still got it over here, and I can share it with you. Let's just see. You see the end of their journeys. They go all these journeys. They went from the Yam Suf and they came to Midbar Sin, and they went from Midbar Sin and they camped in Dofka, and so on. And it goes on and on and on, and they're all together 42 stages over here. And then finally it comes to Yaden Yirecho, Vayisru, and they traveled from Hare Avarim, the hills of Avarim, and they camped in the steppes of Moab, Al Yaden Yirecho, at the Jordan near Jericho. And that is the end of the journey. That's where they were camped. And the whole book of Deuteronomy that we're coming to now is all about the speeches that Moses gave when they were camped at the point near the Jordan, near the city of Jericho. Now, in order to connect these concepts together, that we have on the one hand the journey out of Egypt into the land of Israel and camped by the Jordan, and the city of Jericho 3,300 years ago. And then the future redemption may be today, which is now a long time later. We have the idea that our leaving of this exile will be like the days of going out of Egypt. And the point here is the word Jordan Yerecho, Jericho, the city of Jericho. Now, it explains there about this place name, Jordan, Jericho, in other words, Jericho, by the Jordan. The word Yerecho, the word Jericho, relates to the word Reach, scent, the power of smell. That is the quality which will be revealed in the future. As it says, now it says this in a very beautiful chapter of Isaiah, which describes the Mashiach, the figure of Mashiach, and the special qualities that he will have. And it says, Vaharicho beyirat Hashem, his scent will be of fear of God. V'lo lemare einav yishpot, he won't judge by the sight of his eyes, in the sense of the Messiah as a rabbi, a judge, a dayan, a king, a shofet, someone who judges between people, like we see King Solomon judging in the Book of Kings. And the Talmud says, "De morach v'dayin," he will be able to scent out what is the right judgment. He will see if a case comes before him and it's not clear what is right and what is wrong, he will be able to smell what is the right judgment. Right? In the Book of Kings, we have a fascinating depiction of King Solomon ascertaining who was the real mother of the baby. Yes, there were two women who contested a baby. Each one said it's her baby. And as I'm sure you remember, King Solomon said, well, we'll see, let's bring a sword and cut the baby in half, and then each mother will have half the baby. And the one whose baby it really was She said, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let the other woman have the baby, because she really cared about her child. Even if she's not going to have it, she wants it to be healthy. And the other woman said, yes, do that. Cut it in half. Neither of us will have it. And King Solomon said, I can see that the first lady, she is the one who is really the mother of the child. And so by this ruse, as it were, he was able to ascertain the correct mother of the child. And this spread his fame as a great judge. But what it says about Mashiach in this passage in the book of Isaiah, as commented on in the Talmud, that he will be able to smell out, he will be able to scent what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing. So what's happened is, in literary terms, if you like, that the section of the Torah which talks about going out of Egypt, and the verse in Micha, which talks about the coming of Mashiach, have both of them talk in the plural about the time of going out of Egypt. And the linking factor is this Yaden Yerecho, the idea of Jericho relating to the sense of smell, relating to the special revelation that will be at the time of Mashiach. And so therefore, they are both really talking about the time of Mashiach. So the passage which is in our Sedra, which ostensibly is talking about 3,300 years ago, is also talking about the time of Mashiach. And from this we can understand, we'll just finish this paragraph, then we'll try and discuss it a little bit. From this it's understood, Shabahosafah, and that when Rabbi Shneur Zalman adds, Vahainu, that means Ad Chaniyatam B'Yaden Yerecho, where that means up to the time they camp at the Jordan by Jericho, Shezohi Abchina Shetitkalel Atid Lavo, pointing out that that will be the quality, this miraculous scent of goodness and justice, which will be revealed in the future. Now here comes a very powerful concept. Nichlelet, there's included also Gam Kol Avodat B'nei Yisrael, all the service of the Jewish people. Me'az sheyatzu migalut Mitzrayim, from the time they left the exile of Egypt, va'ad la'geula ha'atida, till the future redemption. Shekol ze nikra, all this is called asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that they went out of the land of Egypt. Yemeid seitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, they are all called days of going out of Egypt, and so therefore, our entire exile can be described as a time of going out of Egypt, and all the different steps and stages of exile, of our exile, the different aspects of our exile. We were in the land of Israel, then we had the first Babylonian exile, then we came back to Israel, then we had this temple was destroyed, we had the second Babylonian, and so on. All the different things that happened, all are like the stages of going out of Egypt, like these 42 stages of going out of Egypt, and through which we come eventually to the time of Mashiach. Now, all this is talking about the Jewish people as a whole, and we will then be considering the individual, himself or herself as well. But let's just try to understand if we can understand exactly or approximately what the discourse has been saying. Would anyone like to comment, make a question or whatever? Rabbi Lou, would you like to comment?
Not like to, but since, you know, give you a second, you're explaining it very beautifully, and it's there in the Maimer, but just to mention what was implicit in what you said, not only the Babylonian exile and the other exiles, but even the time at the temple. It means that the whole human condition, which is progressing towards the revelation of godliness throughout the world permanently, and everything will be aligned and in harmony, which is the time of Mashiach. So everything was, in a sense, a step towards that. We're still going out of Egypt, but still the next stage, which is a further rung, going up the ladder towards Mashiach.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comment? Zipporah?
No, thank you.
Okay, so let's go back. Eve, have you got any comment to make? All right. Now, so here is section Bet, and we come to a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, who applies the whole thing to each individual. V'hine yadua. Now it's known, Torat HaBaal Shem Tov, the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, which is collected in a book by his grandson, Shekol Arbaim Ushnaim HaMasaot, that all the 42 journeys, Yeshnam B'chol Echad Mi'Yisrael, they're there in every individual, the Meshech of every individual Jew, the Meshech Yemei Chayav, in during his or her life. Shahat Chalabazah, the very beginning, the first step in coming out of exile, as it were, Him Yitziato Lavia Olam, is when the baby comes out of the womb and is born into the air of the world. Mima'amadu Matzav Shal Meitzarim Ugvulim. Before then, it was in a comparatively limited situation. And that's something like going out of Egypt. So the baby isn't able to communicate in any general way before it's born. And then the baby is born. The baby is in the world. And through the life of the person, there are all the details of the masa'ot, as it says in this verse, or these verses, Ele Mas'ei, these are the journeys with a whole list of them, one after the other, Ad Shebali Yaden Yerecho, until one comes to Yaden Yerecho, the Jordan and Jericho. And what does that mean? Hainu Shenaaseh Etzlo, that person achieves Shleimut Inyan Hareach, the completion, the perfection of the concept of scent, the power of smell, which I understand this as meaning a kind of moral sensitivity, that the person gets the power of scent, that they understand implicitly in any situation what are the real moral and spiritual categories that are involved. And therefore, the person knows what is the right and the wrong way to behave because they can smell it out. So before we spoke about Mashiach, having a sense of smell, a sense, the power of scent, to be able to judge, in other words, in some kind of communal sense, he's able to judge things or dealing with problems between individuals, but in a kind of a context of a judge and a court and people who have a dispute. And here we have, I venture to say, that it's in the case of each individual facing different challenges, different questions, different turning points, and having a sense of scent, of smell, so that they should know what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing. And that is a kind of process of maturation, which is being described in terms of these 42 journeys. Now, I'm not sure whether this is spelled out. I didn't look it up in this book, Degel Machane Ephraim, where this saying of the Baal Shem Tov is recorded. It's recorded other places as well. I didn't manage to look it up, and I don't know whether he goes into any further detail about the life of a person, but I think that we can use our imagination to understand that each stage is a stage of, you know, there's the blossom, and then the blossom flowers into a flower. There's always a stage of limitation, and then a further stage of maturation in one way or another. And so that is the way in which each person comes to this sort of spiritual maturity, which is really a kind of a Mashiach dimension for that individual as well. And va'ad shenaseh etzel klalut b'nei Yisrael, till for the whole Jewish people, since every individual in the Jewish people is reaching this higher level of spiritual perception and the ability to sense the difference between good and bad, so that applies also to the whole Jewish people, uchlalut ha'olam, and the generality of the world. The whole world becomes a receptacle to this kind of perception, ha'inyan devaharicho b'yirat Hashem, quoting again from Isaiah, the way in which the Messiah himself will be able to scent out the fear of godliness, morach v'dayin, he will be able to judge just on the basis of smelling out what is right and wrong, kafi sheyumshach begalui, as it will be drawn down in a revealed way, this power of Mashiach, and maybe this power of each individual, will be revealed, drawn down in a revealed way, lematam asarat fachim, at ground level. The literal words mean below 10 tfachim, which means on ground level, bagulah amitit vahashlema, in the true and the full, complete redemption, beviat Mashiach tzidkenu, with the coming of Mashiach, bekarov mamash, swiftly in our days, in our time. So therefore, what we have so far is the idea that there is the national going free from Egypt, which continues all the time that they go through the desert till they come to the land of Israel. But that coming to the land of Israel and coming to the Jordan and Jericho hints at a far, far ahead time, the time of Mashiach. And then we have the whole of Jewish history. And all of Jewish history is a process of stages leading to that time of Mashiach. And then we have the third concept, which is from the Baal Shem Tov, that every individual in his or her life is going through a process of these stages, which leads to a kind of illumination, a kind of freedom, a spiritual gain typified by Yarden Yerecho, the River Jordan, and Jericho, relating also to the same quality of being able to scent good and bad, and that will then culminate in every individual being able to do that, and when that happens, it takes place over the whole world, and so the entire world is transformed. So what the Baal Shem Tov has added to the discussion is the way that the growth of each individual is part of this process of bringing and revealing Mashiach. Okay, so are there any...
John, just wondering, what did you say about the sense of smell? Something to do with you come to the level that a person could smell of Mashiach?
Smell what is right and wrong. You know the way a cook, when they're cooking something, so they can smell whether it needs a bit more of this spice or a bit more of that spice, or if they've taken something out of the fridge, you know, is it good still, is it not? They smell it, they can see, is it good or bad? You know, maybe it's been too long in the fridge, it's past its sell-by date, and they can smell that and they throw it away. So they know what is good and what is bad. Or it might smell fresh, yes, it's good. So that can be applied to a person's spiritual life, a moral life. That's the way in which a person lives. There are all kinds of choices we have every day. And they might say in Yiddish, es schmeckt nicht gut. It doesn't smell right. You know, it's, it would be some kind of behavior, some kind of issue. Should we do it or not? So should it's not the right thing. So what it says in Yeshaya, this is what is actually read, the section that's read on Acharon Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach in the outside Israel. We read a section from Yeshaya about Mashiach. And there it says, "V'haricho b'yirat Hashem." He will smell out the fear of God. And the Talmud comments, that means he will be able to smell what is right and what is wrong.
So do you think there's any connection whatsoever that we're now at the threshold of Mashiach? When people get the COVID, they have the sense of smell is taken away from them.
Yeah, I was thinking of that earlier on as I was saying this, the way that COVID took away the sense of smell. Yeah, that's a very interesting thing. Who knows? That's certainly an interesting point. Maybe it's a hint that the sense of smell is something very important and we should. Yeah, could well be. It's any other comment? Chesed?
I think there may be another mama somewhere that actually works with the names of all the stops on the road. Do you remember that?
You see, there is a poem. It's a poem and it's a divine name. This divine name has 42 letters. And the 42 letters are made into a poem which begins with the words Anambakor.
Oh, we say it every morning.
That's right. We say it every morning, and that prayer or prayer poem, which is really a divine name, that links with the concept of the 42 journeys as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay. I seem to remember that if you interpret the names of the places you stop, you also get something interesting.
All right. I'm sure you do, but I don't know exactly how that works.
Okay, but that's interesting. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Babalu, you want to comment? Oh,
yeah. Since you mentioned the prayer, the poem of Ona B'Korach, which has 42 words, during Sefira, which is the journey per year from going out of Egypt to the beginning of the Torah, every day, it's another word of that prayer, which is contemplated upon and worked upon, and at the end of each week, that's the extra 7 days. It's an interesting point.
Mm. And also, how does that work? Sorry, how does that work?
You see, it's six words in a line, and there are seven lines. But there's a seventh word at the end of the line. The six words are words which are identifiable as words. And then at the end of each line, there's just a group of letters, a group of six letters.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you count the group of six letters as another word, another stage, so to speak, then you've got 7 times 7, which is 49, instead of 6 times 7, which is
48. Oh, right.
You've got
right.
7 times 7, and so that's the 49 days of the Omer.
That's right.
So
yeah.
In that sense, what Rabbi Lu is linking together is the 42 stages and the 49 days of the Omer. And through this, they're connected.
Oh, lovely. Yes, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Now I understand.
Right. And Chesed made the point, that's like the idea that life begins at 40. 42. Yeah, although really one would say life begins at this moment for each individual. You know, it's as if everything before now is a preparation for where we're going to take off from at this minute. But at the same time, we are in the middle of a stage and a process which leads from Egypt, from exile to redemption. And that is taking place, one could say, and this discourse is also going to speak about that a little bit later, that in each day there is this process, this movement. So there's one could maybe find the 42 stages in every day as we experience the day, all the different aspects of what happens in our daily lives. Okay, now we go to another dimension which the discourse now links up, which V'yesh l'kasha inyan zeh. Now this is section Gimel of the discourse. It's a short discourse, incidentally, not so much necessarily because when the Rebbe said it, it didn't take very long, but because the way in which it was written down, the editors mention that this is written down in a brief way, like Roshei Prakim. It's like chapter headings. They've put it down very briefly, and it seems to stop short. So, like a number of the unedited discourses of the Rebbe, there's a transcript like the one we're reading now, from 1965, when the discourse was said, but it wasn't written in the transcript wasn't very full, and it's probably incomplete. Sometimes a discourse of this kind would then be edited by the Rebbe and would be shaped so that it's a complete discourse. And sometimes the editors who put out these discourses would take something like, for example, some notes that Rabbi Lou himself, who's here with us, but he might well have been present at this discourse in 1965 in 770 in New York, in Brooklyn, and he might have written some notes on it, which later on were edited into, not by the Rebbe, but by this team, into one of these presentations that we're reading here. So now we're connecting another dimension. There's another step. You want to say something, Shmuel?
I would write down during the Chazorah, during the official review, Motzei Shabbat on Saturday night, Rabbi Kahn, Olav HaShalom, who's Yotzeit, the first Yotzeit just coming up now, he had the understanding, the depth of understanding, and the photographic memory combination. And at this time, his team was just being formed, really. There were young kids that he was training in, and there was Fabrengens every week. So they would write just short things and figured, you know, we'll fill it out later on. It had everything in it, but in a very concise form. So, Precy, I wrote at those Motzei Shabbos, I'm able to write very, very quickly. In Hebrew, I would write in order to send it to friends who were studying in France or wherever. That's basically, for those weeks I did it. Thank God I did it at that time. I was at this Fabrengen here, but I didn't write. I was already married with a child and another one well on the way, and I was leaving the States 3 weeks later or something to come to England. We were living in New York, but from time to time, they discover, people find in their own private writings notes that they took at the time. And then things are fleshed out even more. And also, there are many of these discourses, when they had this unedited copy, a copy was obviously sent into the Rebbe himself. And very often, if not always, the Rebbe on his own copy wrote anywhere between a few words or two or three lines on what he based it. And later, when they began to publish it in earnest, I'm looking here. I have a different, I'm not looking at your screenshot. So I'm using the volumes that when these volumes came out, they, you know, they were assisted very much by going back to the source and seeing how it was being, the Rebbe was never just repeating something. He was giving an insight and a deeper understanding and application of that which came in the previous generations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very valuable. Right. So now the Rebbe says, this can all be connected. B'yesh l'kasha inyan zeh, this concept, which is the concept of the Arba'im u'shnaim ha-masa'ot, the 42 journeys, sheyeshnam b'chayav, which are there in the life, shel kol echad mi'Yisrael, in every Jew. So that can be connected with another verse that it says in the Sedra. Vayichtov Moshe et Motzaehem lemasehem. That Moses wrote down the, we read this verse together, the source, the place that they'd come from, according to their journey. Ubahakdim, and first let's consider, says the Rebbe, Diyuk Rabbeinu Hazaken Belikutei Torah, something that the Alter Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Shneur Zalman, a comment he makes in his discourse in Likutei Torah, selected Torah teachings, the Tzarich Lahavin, he says, we have to understand, Lama Gabe Vayichtov Moshe, when it says that Moshe wrote, Hikdim Motzaem Lemaseim, it puts first the word, the source, the place they came from, and then it puts the journey where they went. And after that, hafach, it turns it round. But omen, it says, ve'ele mas'ehem, and these are their journeys, lemotza'em, according to their source. Right? In the translation we were looking at, it spoke, it translated this source as the starting point. So why does it say at one point it says the starting point and then the journey, and then the next time it says the journey and then the starting point? And the Kudat HaBe'or B'zeh, the basic explanation of this, Shemotza'ehem, that when it says their starting point, it doesn't just mean the starting point, which little oasis in the desert they were camped at, and then they went to another place. The starting point means Hainu Mekor Nishmot Yisrael. That means the source of the Jewish souls. Ki inyan shemer shenema, as it says, Uchomot samayim asher lo yechazvu meimav, like a source of water, which the its waters never are never false. Its waters always flow. And from that place, which is the source of the soul, so we can reflect for a moment, right, on the source of our soul. I mean, most people are not that aware of their own soul at all. Sometimes we can be in a spiritual situation and suddenly we can feel our soul, as it were. And here we're talking not only of the soul within our body, but of the soul, the source of the soul beyond. Umisham, and from there, from that exalted source of the soul, himshich he'ara, a gleam, a ray of light shines, Kedei liyot lahem, so that they, the individual, should have the power, koach, the power la'alot mimata lemaila, to climb up from below to above. Shezel lemaseim, and that's what it means, their journey. From the source of the soul comes the energy, the illumination, the inspiration to be able to make the journey. And then we make that step in the journey. V'hainu sham shacham mimotza'em, that means that the flow that comes from the source, he bishvil mas'em, is for the sake of the journey. Rotzon olama, which means hanesiya v'hala'a shemimata, the journey and the rising that goes from below. So in other words, there is a connection between the soul and its source, enabling the soul and the person as a whole to make their journey here in this world. And if we're going to use a metaphor of which direction we're moving upwards. The idea is that we are here in the world and we're trying to reach a higher level. So the first step is that we first have the source of the soul, and then the progress of the soul in the body. And after that, Nehemiah, it says, and these are their journeys to their source. That's what it means literally. That's the ascent from below to above. That's the ascent from below to above, until we come back to the source of our soul. So, not that easy to draw a diagram, but we've got the idea, the source of the soul flowing down into the soul, and therefore giving the soul the energy to make the journey that it's trying to make. And then we have the idea that through the soul successfully continuing making that journey, it rises to a higher level and connects back to its source, or to even higher, as we're going to see. V'nimtza, that means shebe'ele masei, that in these journeys, motza'em lemaseim, from their source to their journey, and the other way around, Maseim lemotzaim, their journey to the source, nirmaz klalut avodata adam, that is hinted at the total service of the individual, b'meshech kol yemei chayav, during the entire lifespan of the person, hachel, beginning with miyiridat haneshama, the descent of the soul into this world, which is described as mi'igra rama. The soul comes from a high roof. It comes from a very high spiritual position. Shezel shoresh haneshama, and that's the root of the soul. Va'achar kach, and after that, now it is, the Rebbe is here quoting the Alakai neshama prayer. My God, the soul that you have given me is pure. You created it. Ata barata, ata yatsata. You created it, you formed it, and then you blew it into me, which is really coming down, down, down into the physical world. Having begun, the soul begins in a very exalted level of total purity. But coming down into our physical world can be considered, as is a well-known phrase, sheyoredet lebira amikta, it comes down into a deep pit. And that's this world with all its problematic aspects. Shezel olam hazeh ha-tachton, that is this lower physical world. B'chevan she'en tachton lemata mimena, since, and it's an important and interesting principle, there's nothing lower than our world. Our world is the bottom stage of existence. Lachein nikra bira mikta, that's why it's called a low pit, a deep pit. V'sham ovedet avodata, and it's there in that deep pit of existence, the soul attempts and does achieve its service. or during the time of a person's life. And at the end, when it's completed its service, the soul returns and it ascends to the source of its, from where it was hewn. So we have this journey coming down into the world from its source, and then through the course of a life, we are eventually rising higher and higher. And then when we leave the world at the end of 120 or 180 years, we go higher and connect with the source of our soul again, or as he's going to say in the next paragraph, even higher. Right, so that's another perspective on the life of an individual. Any comments here?
I wanted to ask, because they say the different souls come from different places.
Sorry, say so that again.
They say that, you know, different souls come from different places.
Different places on the spiritual ladder. The root of all the souls is very important. The question is, at what point do they sort of emerge? Do they emerge at a very high level, like Atzilut, or the emanation, or do they emerge at a lower level, like Bria, the creation? But the real root is very exalted. But what point the soul emerges as an entity, that differs.
Oh, I thought it was about which sphere it came from.
Well, usually, although sometimes people are said to have, you know, particular affinity in one way or the other, when it's talking about the nature of souls, it puts it in more general terms than a particular sphere. It's are they souls of Ma? You see, there's ways of writing out the name of God where you write each letter as a kind of a word, you know, so Yud Vav Dalet, for example. So it makes the word Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. So you can write that in different ways. So one way of writing it, it adds up to 45. And that is a sort of a higher level of soul. So it comes from the name Yud, the tetragrammaton, but it's the tetragrammaton as spelled in a way which is understood to be on a higher level. And then there's a lower level of soul where it comes to a different number. And so there are those different levels. They all come from the name Yudke Vavke, but the way in which they emerge is different.
Okay, I understand. Well, that makes it easier in a way. I mean, how would you know where your soul comes from?
We generally assume that we're on a lower level. And then we're able to be lifted up by certain spiritual souls, the great teachers of Israel. We're able to be inspired by them and climb up to a higher level. That's
Yeah, that works. Okay, thank you.
Right, okay. So now we're looking at maybe the last paragraph, yes. Umamshich, so this is section Dalet. Umamshich levaya. And it goes on to explain. What does it mean? Moshe wrote down these journeys. He wrote them down. So now taking the idea of writing, we're now moving to another kind of concept, another topic within Hasidic thought. Alpi machekatub b'makom acher, what it says elsewhere, in another discourse which we learned recently. B'dibu ha-matchilin b'chukotai, the whole idea of chakika, letters which are engraved. Just as in the Torah, there are two aspects. Otiot hachakika, letters which are engraved in stone, Shehena Otiyot Shebel Luchot, which are like the letters in the two tablets of stone Moses got at Mount Sinai, Shebehem Nema, about which it says, Charut al haluchot, engraved on the tablets, and that means Shaotiyot Einan Davar Nosaf al ha'Evan. The letters are not an additional thing, an extra thing to the stone. Ela he minei uvei, the letters are part of the stone. As was explained in that previous discourse, it explained even when you're talking about engraving, there are different levels. One kind of engraving, the letters go all the way through the stone. The other kind of engraving, they're on the surface of the stone. So this was discussed in a recent discourse that we studied. So on the one hand, there's letters which are engraved. And then on a lower level, there's for otiyot haktav. There's letters which are written in parchment. Now, just as that is so in the nature of writing, whether it's the letters on the tablets of stone that Moses brought from Mount Sinai, where it's engraved on stone, or it's the letters of in parchment that are there in the Torah scroll, Kein b'chol nitzutz v'Yisrael. Every single spark of the Jewish people, every individual Jew, yesh gam shtei b'chinot elu, has both these qualities. V'hinei b'chinat motza'eim. Now, when we say the source, shezeh shoresh haneshama, as we said before, the root of the soul, zeh mibchinat otiyot hachakika, that comes from the letters of engraving. And then the Rebbe quotes a profound esoteric phrase from the Zohar, Sha'al zeh ne'ma, about this it said, galif glifu b'tira ila. There was a kind of engraving in the upper purity, like it's the beginning of existence. The Zohar is speaking about the very beginning of the process, which is going to lead to existence. And it's like a little scratch engraved in the infinite purity of the beyond. That's when we say the prayer, my God, the soul you've given me is pure. That being pure is this very exalted level. And then there's Yeridat HaNeshama Lamata Baguf. Then the soul comes down into the body below here in this world. Zel Bechinat Otiyot HaKtav. That's like the written letters on the Torah scroll. The Rebbe very often compares the Jewish people to the letters on the Torah scroll. That's why every single individual, whoever they are, whatever they're doing, they are vital for the whole thing, because the Torah scroll depends on every single letter. If one letter is missing from the Torah scroll, the entire scroll cannot be used until that letter is repaired. And so every single individual in the Jewish people is vitally important to the totality of the whole. So here we have the idea of the soul within the body as the written letter. And what happens is that v'lechein, and therefore, k'dei liyot hamshacha, in order there should be the flow, mebchinat motza'eim, from their source. Nehemiah, it says, v'yichtov Moshe et motza'eim. Moses wrote the source and where they were going from the source. The Hainu Shehimshich, that means he drew down Mibchinat Otiyot HaChakika, from the letters of engraving, the higher level, the source of the individual soul, Lehitlabesh, to be enclosed, B'Otiyot HaKtav, in the letters of writing, which are the soul as manifest in the life of the person. And that's in order that it should be afterwards. These are their journeys to their source. Now that's a remarkable thing. It just now suddenly occurs to me. The Rebbe is actually, I learned this discourse before and it didn't occur to me. The Rebbe is describing what it is to be a Rebbe. A Rebbe connects the soul of the individual to that individual's own spiritual source. And that's what it means. He's writing down. He's connecting the source to the way the soul is in the person themselves, as a living human being living in the world. Any comment on that?
Yeah, Talia, I have a comment.
Yeah.
Chassid, you go first. Go on. No?
No, go.
It's just so, you know, we have been invested with those very high souls, yeah? And how come, you know, as you say, God, the soul that you invested in me, she's pure and et cetera, how come when we have to, like, study or do mitzvahs, we find it so hard to concentrate and get it into our heads and get it into ourselves as such. We have such high potential inside us. It should be easier. All these things like difficult, you know?
Well, that is the task of the soul. You see, the whole point is, as the phrase goes, to make a dwelling for God in the lower world. Now, what makes it a lower world? That this very exalted, beautiful, ethereal soul is confronted with tremendous challenges. It comes down into the physical body. The physical body has its challenges. The animal soul has its challenges. The situation in the world is full of challenges. And in that, this beautiful soul has to try and assert itself. And sometimes the soul like curls up and goes to sleep, and it lets other forces take control in the person's life. And so therefore the soul has to be woken up, and that's part of this whole process of waking up the soul so that it has a connection downward.
Well, you're like, well, you study, you're learning from me, you're doing a chitus or something, and all of a sudden you can't concentrate. Things start going into your head and your mind, you think about this and this and the other. I mean, you shouldn't really be distracted at all, really, if I had this high soul.
That would be true if we didn't have an animal soul as well. But since we also have an animal soul and the two souls are like fighting with each other, so the animal soul wants to be involved with something else, and the divine soul wants to do the spiritual thing, so the two souls are in conflict. It's from that point of view, it's not surprising that the conflict is there. Rabbi Shneur Zalman even says that using the example of someone davening in a very spiritual way, and then they start getting all kinds of ridiculous thoughts in their head. He said it's as if the animal soul can see the divine soul's very involved in this beautiful prayer. So it says, I must come and disturb that. I must do something about that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I was thinking that following your insight, the Rebbe, when he was connecting people, he wasn't connecting them to a general soul, right? He knew where their particular soul fit, what their mission was, right? Because he would say, you know, go left and not right, or go here and not there. And he knew how that would work.
I agree with you. At the same time, all the souls connect to the leading souls of the Jewish people. So there's the particular source of the soul, and there's also the leading souls, like the Rebbe, like Moses of each generation.
Yeah.
And so the soul, there's being connected to one's own inner self, and also to the general inner self of the Jewish people.
You don't think that just ordinary people could do some of it directly with Hashem? You think you have to go through a Rebbe?
Well, the point is, it's like a physical body. So, you know, the physical body, let's say the hands are playing the piano. So it's not just the hands. The hands are doing that because of a whole interconnection between the hands and the brain. Now, it's true, I've been told by pianist friends, that the fingers themselves learn the notes. And that you, if you practice enough, the fingers have got the whole concerto in them. But nonetheless, if they don't have that connection with the brain, then it's not going to be as good as it could be.
Okay. I hear you. I mean, I hear you.
Okay.
It just seems that a Jew should be able to connect directly as well.
Look, the whole Torah is focusing on the figure of Moses. And if it's not Moses, it's Joshua, or it's King David, or it's King Solomon. You know, there are always these, like, or Ezra, you know, there are always these spiritual figures who are helping everyone else. The, you know, one image is a group of people climbing up a mountain. So you need someone who knows which way you're going.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense. That makes sense to the whole people. That makes sense to the whole people.
I think Rabbi
Lou. Looking at it that way.
Yeah, Rabbi Lou.
A person. There are thousands and thousands of very observant, true Haredi Jews who don't have a Rebbe. Many don't have a Rebbe. So a person obviously can have a direct connection, but there's a limit. It would be a fraction of the capacity of their soul. Through the through a Rebbe, a person is able to access their own innermost, what's called yechida, the essence of their soul. Whatever that person is, it needs that connection. It's not something which is there to be a vicarious religious person or somebody who's doing something instead of me or separating me. It's someone to connect me to the innermost aspects of godliness and to the innermost aspect of my own soul. It's not. In order to have that direct connection in the deepest way, if a person has a Rebbe, they will access it in a much more powerful way.
Interesting. Yeah, I see that. Thank you.
I would also like to add that in one's attempt to be connected with God, the biggest problem is our own ego, which interposes. And the fact of having a Rebbe helps a person get over their own ego. That's
oh, really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It says ego that says that, you know, you can do it by yourself, is what you're saying, really. That you need to sort of say, all right, I'm just going to be a follower here.
You see, there's a sense in which every leader is a follower himself, and that's how the strength of Jewish leadership through the generations comes about.
Yeah, that's very smart. Yeah, you're right, Tali. Rabbi Lou, you're right.
Okay, we'll just look at one more paragraph. And this is a point I mentioned before, that this idea of connecting the soul to its source through its efforts in its life in this world, ubasiyum ha'inyan sham, and what the way it ends off there, by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the efshar shaliya lemotzeim, and it's possible that the ascent to their source, he lemaila yoter, is higher, me'amshacha b'tchila mimotzeim, than the point where they were drawing from their source down below to the soul in the body, and what comes out through the service of a lifetime or a day, maybe the soul connects to a level which is even higher than its source. Va'inyan bazeh, and what this means is, as explained in a number of different places, that since the descent of the soul is for in order to ascend, and it must be, now here's a kind of an interesting way of looking at it. it's impossible to say that the ascent is only to the level from which it came at the beginning. Because if so, what would be the purpose of the descent? If a person's soul comes down into this world, it must be in order to gain something higher than it had at the beginning. So we must say, the ascent of the soul through its going through all the struggles in this world, as Tzipora described, that its ascent goes to a higher level than it was before it descended. And that means that Aliyah is even higher than the level Tohorahi. Now, the beginning of Elokai Neshama, God, the soul you gave me, it is pure. She is pure. So that's a quality where the soul already, it's got a tzio, it's got a form. But there's an even higher level, the Rebbe is saying, and that higher level is the level beyond any kind of form, closer to the essence of the divine, which is the ultimate essence of everything. And that's what the soul comes through its service in this world. And that's ultimately what is revealed through us going through the process of exile and the coming of Mashiach. So thank you very much for joining us for this little journey. And next week will be, next Tuesday, we'll have a session, hopefully. And then there'll be a few weeks gap. My wife and I, with the help of Hashem, will be traveling different places, and we'll come back together in September, about the middle of September. That's Hashem.